Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to Andy Holding's Racing Podcast with William Hill. I'm Alex Dunn. I've been joined on the line by Andy to look ahead to the Leopardstown card on Sunday. And what a card it is as well. Plenty of high-class performers. We've got Jeske against Hurricane Fly coming up in the Irish Champion Hurdle. We've got Undersow. We've got plenty of nice horses running. Promises to be an absolutely superb day, doesn't it, Andy?
It does, yeah. It's for the connoisseur today. Not big fields, but what we have got is the very best taking on, you know, the up-and-coming horses and champions alike. So it's just a star-studded array of talent. I'm actually looking forward, bizarrely, to the two novice events more than I am the Hurricane Fly Jet Ski Clash again. If you like, we've seen the Hurricane Fly Jet Ski runs before, and it's the latest instalment. But the other ones, we really don't know how good they are, and we're about to find out. The clash between No More Heroes and Windsor Park, and in particular, that Arkle, although there's only three runners, what a race that is. Mouth-watering stuff today, and Ken Peterson live on track as well has got the bird's eye seat.
Absolutely. And of course, I believe are you cutting short your anniversary weekend away to talk to us here?
I am indeed, yes. The lengths I go to
it's commitment, it really is.
Satisfy the lust for podcasts for William Hill listeners. Yeah, I'm actually, it's my anniversary weekend. 3 years married, and I've cut short our little soiree this morning to do this. So yeah, I think you need to thank my wife.
Well, you better tip some winners then, I think.
Giving me 20 minutes grace to the podcast.
Nice. Okay, well, we better crack on then. The 110's the first race. It's a maiden hurdle over 2 miles. Maybe not the classiest race on the card here, Andy, but there's still some nice enough types. Joint favourites at the time recording, Gladiator King and Uncle Danny, 7-1 bar. Which one do you fancy here?
Well, I think Uncle Danny was a bit disappointing the last day. He sent off favourite over the Christmas period, whether it was the ground or whatever. There was one or two, obviously, issues surrounding John Quayle's charge that prevented him from running up to the form that he showed the time before, when he was third behind the very impressive first impressions. And if he runs to that level, then obviously he's got a great chance here. But I slightly prefer the form of Gladiator King's run here the last day, when he was given a very tender ride. He certainly wasn't knocked about that day as well. It was the race that one of Tony Martin's sprung a bit of a surprise and lowered the colours of the odds-on favourite, Silver Concord. But I do like the way that this horse travelled. He was largely unexpected to run a good race, being a 20-1 poke, and I thought he ran way beyond expectations on that particular occasion. He did carry his head just slightly awkward. I don't think he's the most straightforward of conveyances, but I think he's got a good engine and the ability's there. And I think the easier ground, or the better ground today, will suit him. Don't forget, it was really heavy over the Christmas period, drying out all the time here at Leopardstown, no rain overnight, and the ground's probably just going to ride on the yielding side of soft. So now with McCoy on as well, I think we can see fireworks today from Gladiator King. He's sure to travel the best in the race. It's just whether he can deliver it on the running and on the evidence of what we saw last time out. If anyone's going to get it out of him, it's going to be Tony McCoy.
Okay, fair enough. The 140 is next up. It's the Irish Arkle, a grade one chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Just the three going to post here, Andy, but we've got Undersow, Gilgamboa and Clarkham. Three very, very high class novice chasers, and this has all the makings of a classic, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I mean, literally, I'd walk across a mile of broken bottles, really, to see this race. I think this is the race of the day. We've got three potential champions in view here, and all of them look as though they've made a real spectacular, sparkling start to their careers over fences after being very good hurdlers last year. In particular, Undersow, who's been brought along steadily by Willie Mullins. He's obviously had lots of difficult choices to make with this horse because, you know, he's in the era of all the very best champion hurdlers around. Of course, with Hurricane Fly in the stable, he's probably yet to commit, or he didn't commit him to sort of champion hurdle standard as we thought last year. I mean, don't forget, this horse was only about a 10 or 12 to 1 shot to win the champion hurdle when Connections decided to pull a plug on Cheltenham in the sort of belief that he could well make a good, decent chase. And those sort of theories have been brought to fruit this year, although he fell first time at Gower. And certainly the signs, what we saw there that day, that he was going to be spectacular over fences when he got it all together. And he did just that last time out when he was a devastatingly easy winner over a very good horse. Don't underestimate the horse that he beat last time out by a double digit. It's a horse called Smashing, who went to Garen Park the other day and put his credentials for the JLT chase at the Cheltenham Festival very firmly in the shop window. And this horse literally toyed with Emery de Bromhead's charge, jumping powerfully from the front. It was an armchair ride for Ruby Walsh, and he was really spectacular. This should be absolutely ideal for him today. Just the three runners. Ruby Walsh can go off in front, eye up his fences. And if he puts in a clear round, it is very, very difficult to see either one of the other two beating him, even though they are very high class in their own right. Gil Gamboa, of course, finished mid-division in the champion in the Supreme Novices hurdle last year. Two wins over fences, again in spectacular fashion. Also very good on the clock as well. His win last time out in Limerick when he defeated two very good horses, including Wounded Warrior, who was third and has won subsequently. It was a very fast time, right up there with the very best speed figures I've got so far in Ireland. And don't forget Claire Cam as well. He got beat by Vato at first time up this year, but he's won twice subsequently, again in a very fast time. So this will be a real good test run, sir. I'm not suggesting for any minute he's a penalty kick, but if he puts it all together, jumps a clear round, I think he might just have the legs of the other two.
Okay, so hard to get away from Undersoul, but promises to be an absolute thriller at 1:40. The 2:10 up next. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 1 furlong. Not the strongest race on the card in terms of quality, but competitive, Andy, and quite appealing from an each-way point of view, perhaps.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. Interesting, there's a bit of money for Third Opinion, who's a very nice horse. He's always looked to chase in the making off a mark of 116. I think he can make his presence felt in handicaps sooner rather than later. But I'm a massive fan of the Champagne James, even though I didn't tip him last time out, and I tipped the winner against him, a horse called Dromnea. I thought he bumped into a useful opponent on that occasion. I think Mouse Morris's charge is a real dour stayer, and unfortunately Champagne James just didn't have the staying qualities of that horse on that occasion. But he did nothing wrong in defeat. He probably could have jumped a little bit more cleanly, if I'm being picky. But other than that, he's got some fantastic form prior to that. You know, he's run against the very best novices in good times. He sets a very good standard. And he comes from a stable that, of course, he's been doing really well this season. Ted Walsh might not have the power in his string that he used to have, but he has a horse in the shape of Foxglove, who's obviously a very high quality horse, and I think the Irish Hennessy is very much in his capabilities. And of course, he won here at the last meeting. So, with the stable riding on a bit of a high, with Champagne James having the best speed figures and the best form in the race, despite top weight, I think Champagne James has the class to come through there in that 2 mile handicap chase.
Okay, next up is the 2:45. It's the Irish Champion Hurdle, a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. And what a race we've got in store once again here, Andy. Hurricane Fly against Jeski. Even money for the Fly, 6-4 for Jeski at the time of recording. Let's not forget Arctic Fire as well in there at 9-1. It's 25s or bigger for the other three. I know you're a Jeski fan, Andy, but are you going to stick with him today?
Well, I am Jetski's probably biggest fan, or one of them anyway. But my loyalties were broken here the last time when I actually tipped against Jetski probably for the first time in my life. It was with a heavy heart that I went for Hurricane Fly. And although I got it right, I still felt as though Jetski ran a really honourable race in second. And, you know, there wasn't a great deal between them in that rush to the line. It's going to be an interesting tactical race yet again today. It'll probably play out very similarly to what it did last time out. I presume that the sacrificial lamb will be plinked once again, and to ensure that there's a decent gallop set up, you'd imagine that Tony McCoy will probably sit in behind, and Ruby Walsh will keep an eye on what Tony McCoy is doing on jet ski, and then it's going to be a kick off the home turn. Who's got the best turn of foot, and who wants it the more? Who wants it the most? With Hurricane Fly's record here, I've never been beaten in 8 starts. It is always very difficult to make a strong case against him here at his favourite track. the character's been very much well and truly dangled with most bookmakers this morning. He's around about even money this morning, which looks very tempting considering his overall profile and his credentials here at Leopardstown. And he should, in theory, beat Jetski again. The only question mark that you'd have, or the only balance that you could probably tip in Jetski's favour, is the slightly better ground that he encountered here 27 days ago when it was really heavy and it wouldn't have suited Jessica Harrington's charge. He's very much a spring horse that wants decent ground. So the faster the ground, or the better the ground, the better Jetski's chances. So if he was ever going to beat Hurricane Fly here on his favourite stomping ground, it might well be today. But it's just so difficult to oppose Hurricane Fly. I think if he would have been 4-6, 4-7, I don't think I would have put him up. But even money or odds in around that, I do think he's actually good value this morning.
Okay, so you're Team Fly.
I'm Team Fly again, yeah. Like I said, it probably would be Jetski when it comes to the Champion Hurdle Day. I think Hurricane Fly probably won't have any chance of beating Jetski around Cheltenham on good ground. But while it's always soft at Leopardstown, Hurricane Fly is just unbeaten, I'm afraid. I think I've given up trying to oppose him.
Okay, Hurricane Fly very hard to get away from then. In the 2:45. The 3:15 up next, it is a Grade 2 novices hurdle. 2.5 miles the trip for this one. They go without Shantou Flyer, which does ruin the race a little bit from an each-way point of view if that's what you were going to go for. But we've got No More Heroes in, a well-backed 5-4 favourite. Windsor Park, 11-4, who could be pretty smart. And then some nice horses, the likes of Martello Tower, Kalulta Vic, Outlander, single-figure prices, 28s or bigger. For the two outsiders, which one do you fancy here, Andy?
Yeah, this is a real nice matchup between the front two in the market here. Both of them have Cheltenham Festival aspirations, and I don't really think any of them will be sort of like in the negative sort of camp after this particular race, even if they get beat, because I don't think it'll be any disgrace either way. No More Heroes, unbeaten under rule so far, looks a really promising type, definitely going to be a better chaser than he is a hurdler. He's very similar to stable companion Don Cossack in the sense that he travels well, he's got a good turn of foot, and he looks pretty game and honest off the broad as well, as he was when he beat Shane Hill last time out, who obviously created a good impression the time before. That was a very good grade too, running at sound pace. And, you know, he's very much the one to beat here. But at the prices, I do quite like Windsor Park's chances this morning of maybe turning him over, certainly giving the favourite plenty to think about. Of course, Dermot Wells' horse has already had a course and distance win under his belt. And the form of that race he managed to score over last time out has worked out incredibly well. There's been three subsequent winners out of that race 27 days ago over the course and distance, and they've all won in really good fashion subsequently. So, although at the time I didn't think it was such a brilliant performance by Dermot Wells' charge, who was more workmanlike on the day than spectacular, time has told us that that was a really good race. And he has got a very good turn of foot as well. And I think the better ground will also suit Windsor Park today. So this is just about prices with me this morning. 11-8, 5-4 for No More Heroes. That'll obviously make an appeal to some, but certainly doesn't to me when I can get 3-1 or in and around that for Windsor Park. And I do think he's the value bet in that particular grade too.
Okay, Windsor Park, the pick in a fantastic contest there. The 3:50 then is the penultimate race on the cards. It is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. And we've got joint favourites at the time of recording, Andy, in Bishop's Road and Heathfield. Bishop's Road a little bit on the drift though this morning.
Yeah, he is. It's probably because there's so much support for Tony Martin's charge, Heathfield, rather than a general lack of support or confidence behind Bishop's Road, because Henry de Bromhead's charge, for me, probably has the best form going into this race. He got his colours lowered last time out by a nice French recruit from the Willie Mullins stable at Punchestown. And back in third was a horse of Sandra Hughes, called Apache Jack, who advertised the form in no uncertain terms yesterday at Navan. So I do think he's probably got the pick of the form coming into this race. Off a mark of 123 in his first handicap soiree, then I do think he's probably the one to beat. He has got his main competition, as I said, in the shape of Heathfield, who got beat last time out in quite a decent race when he came over to this country. He likes the ground, and he's also got some decent form at the track as well. He's been an eye-catcher on more than one occasion here at Leopardstown. So I can certainly see plenty of punters steaming into Tony Martin's charge, particularly as the trainer's got plenty of fancied horses on the card in previous races. It might well be that the swell of confidence and all the sort of like the positives are going in the direction of that yard prior to this race. But I'll stick with Bishop's Road. He's unexposed, and off a mark, I say, off his current mark, he's definitely got a good chance here in this competitive-looking handicap.
OK, the final race coming up at 4:20 is a bumper. 2 miles the trip for this one. And unsurprisingly, we've got an odds on Willie Mullins and Patrick Mullins shot 5-6 at the time of recording for Fuji Mountain. But that does open the race up from an each-way point of view, and there are some respected connections in there. Robin Time, in particular, has already had a run, and at 5-1 may make some appeal from an each-way point of view. But again, it is the well-related Fuji Mountain that heads affairs here, Andy.
Yeah, I mean, Willie Mullins has just got an embarrassment of riches, hasn't he, in this sphere this year. He's got probably at least four or five I can think of, including the champion bumper favourite, up for review, up towards the top of the market of the big race at the end of day three. It's always a category that Willie Mullins shines in. He's just got so many nicely bred horses, and he's virtually just cherry-picks and scatters them around and runs them at the very best tracks, and they're always difficult to beat. They always know their job, and Paddy Mullins, of course, probably is the king of the bumpers as well. He just knows how to ride these races. He can go from the front. He knows what he's doing. If the pace is not good enough in behind, he kicks at the right moment. So the combination are pretty much deadly in these races. For Fuji Mountain, of course, he's going to be the one to beat here. But as you said, I do think this race is a really good each-way betting race. And if you can get sort of 5-6-1 for Robin Time, I do think you'll be on a safe bet here to at least get your money back, because he finished third behind the aforementioned up for review in the best and the strongest run bumper I've got in Ireland on the figures so far this season. I do think that horse up for review is a worthy favourite for the champion bumper, not only visually, but like I said, on the clock as well. The clock backed up that was a very good time. And Gordon Ellis charged in really well to finish third on his race course debut. He's already had a run around the track as well. Of course, is going to stand him in good stead. So if there is any chinks in the armoury of Fuji Mountain first time up, it's likely to be found out with Robin Time. But either way, he should finish in the frame.
OK, fair enough. Great stuff, Andy. Best of luck with all those picks. Hopefully you get to watch some of the action, but I don't think that you will. I think you'll have to watch it back, won't you?
I will watch him when I get back in tonight, yes.
OK.
And desperate, isn't it?
Under the thumb. It's all right.
I'll be tuning into William Hill Radio then.
Very corporate. Well done. I like it. Yeah. Best of luck, and we'll catch up with you later on in the week.
Yeah, cheers. Thanks, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.